All right. Welcome to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed.
Welcome.
It's your favorite bald couple back in the building, y'all.
Yes, it is.
For another episode. It's been a little while. Been a little time. And a lot has happened in the last few months.
A lot has happened in the last few months.
I know I feel like a different person. How do you feel?
I feel like a different person. It was a very transformative and exhausting time.
Yes, but in transformation and growth can be really fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I feel I'm back better than ever. Mm. How do you feel?
Same. Yeah. I feel really grounded and just connected and ready to just get this thing going and keep the momentum.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as you can see by the title, we moved in, y'all. We moved in together officially. And I guess we never really talked about like our day-to-day living stuff and how that kind of was going on. And
yeah,
but we're going to talk about it today.
Let's do it.
We have officially moved in together. It's been almost 2 months now.
Yeah.
So we've had some time to settle in.
Unpack
all the bags and unpack the metaphorical bags.
Absolutely.
We've unpacked some bags, settled in, and I finally feel settled.
Same.
Finally feels like, okay, I live here now.
Same.
Yeah.
It's like the routine of stuff. I for a while, like every other day, I would wake up and just be like, I want to go home.
I would wake up in the morning like, oh, I guess you're not going home because you live here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but for real though, I remember just like the 7 to 10 to 14 days, somewhere around there. And just feeling like, you know, I'm ready for my annual space or like my monthly space. Mm-hmm. And waking up the next morning, oh yeah, no, you live here now. And not that there was even anything wrong, but it was just like, I'm used to it going back to that. And it was like, no. Yeah.
We'd have like a week on and then a couple of days off.
Like, yeah, no, you're here today too. You're going to be here tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah.
No, for real. I know it may sound like whatever, but I mean, that was a real thing to take in. Like, oh, shit, going to be here tomorrow and next week and next month.
Lucky you.
No, for real. It was a thing, though.
No, I understand.
I see you looking like you're offended at what I'm saying right now.
You sound kind of like an asshole, but
nah,
I get
not
it.
At all. It's nothing negative at all. But the reality, oh, you're here again tomorrow. Yeah, that's different. So if I sound like an asshole, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I definitely had my moments of like, okay, I'm ready to like reset in my space, and I realized how when I would go home, how much of a reset it was. Because when I'm with you and I'm with Jazz, it's just like a different type of day-to-day life. And then when I'm by myself, I can just be by myself and just cater to myself in the ways that kind of go on the back burner. So I think my biggest, like, trying to figure things out these last few months was still putting myself first and my self-care first, because we live together now, so I can't just continuously put myself on back burner.
Yeah, it was... It was quite the adjustment for a multitude of reasons, because it wasn't like we just moved in and that was it, because, you know, that's a challenge within itself.
Yeah.
But also we've been doing a lot of spiritual work over the last few months, and it really, you know, peaked during our plant medicine journey. And we'll definitely get into that and, you know, just how it affected the move, how it affected us, where we are now, what prompted it, you know, and all of that. But having to have that going on in the mix and just have this newfound information about ourselves and this new perspective on reality as a whole, you know, while integrating into this home together was an experience. And I feel like, of course we would do this shit like that. Like, of course we would have the most profound moments of our life while moving in and having such a big monumental thing as that be a part of it.
Yeah. And a part of me really appreciates it, because it felt like a real fresh start, like a real like new beginning with my relationship with myself, with where I want to go, with the clarity that I now have, and also doing it in new space and starting this like next chapter in our relationship. So I feel like, yeah, of course we would do that.
Right.
Egregious behavior, but of course we would do it.
Right. And so it was, what, 3.5 years. So, you know, for those who are not familiar with our story, so we started out, what, 6 weeks or so before COVID.
Yeah.
And you had your own place. I had my own place. And then COVID hit. So we shacked up at my place all of 2020. Barely knowing each other, honestly. We didn't really know each other at all. Well, now really knowing each other, we didn't know shit about each other.
Absolutely nothing. And it felt like we did.
It did.
It felt like we did.
Let me make that correction because you are my twin flame.
Yeah.
And we did know each other, but we had to relearn each other in our new forms in this life. And that was different.
Yeah. It always felt safe. It always felt like it made sense. But in the grand scheme of like physical time here on this planet, we didn't rack that up.
Yeah. But I think because the passion was so strong, we really immersed ourselves so heavily in it that we really got to see the real parts of ourselves, and we got to tear off the mask. And, you know, I got to see you in that everyday experience, because I feel like you don't really know somebody until you live with them. I've said that from just experience and knowing you could date somebody for 1, 2, several years. But until you live with their ass and you see how it is when they wake up in the morning, their habits, their moods, the little shit that they do that annoys you to see, is this really annoying or it's not too bad? I can live with it.
Yeah.
How they cook, how they clean, how they just are in the house, how they respect your space and how you like to do things.
Mm-hmm.
All the ugly, all the beautiful. Until you see all that for a consistent amount of time, you're not ready to live with somebody. You're just not.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. It's funny, I was looking up just like what it's like for couples when they like first move in with one another. And I like came across a lot of statistics about like, it was like 30 or 40% of couples who like cohabitate before marriage don't make it to marriage or end up getting divorced. And I was like, damn, like, you know, it sounds great for us. But
if they don't cohabitate?
If they do cohabitate, then they end up not lasting.
Before marriage?
Before marriage.
Where do you get this stat from?
This is just like a few things I came across on the internet. But then like the more I looked into it, it was saying like that was true like a few years ago. But like nowadays, it's the opposite where those who cohabitate either stay in relationship, not marrying, or when they marry, they stay. It's just like more longevity. But I found it quite interesting just looking at the dichotomy of the two of them, of just like how I can see how like really getting to know someone can turn you off to wanting to marry them.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, okay, like I've been dealing with this for the last few years, but do I want to like deal with this for the rest of my life? So I think that's interesting, but I also think it's interesting like how it is, I guess, nowadays in the stats that there is more longevity, because I think people know what they're getting into. And like back in the day, I think that marriages just happened, you know, when you're really young or they're arranged, or it was just very traditional. So you just didn't really know what you got into until you were just like deep into it with a contract.
But also you were forced. There was a lot of pressure from parents and just societal pressure to, all right, we fucking did this, so let's stay in this forever, 60, 70 years. And I feel like people ain't about that life these days. They're ready to check up out of here if it's not, you know, aligning with them.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. I came across this post that was, it was just like talking about how men specifically are like always complaining that, they're always complaining that like, it's not like the old days where you get married and it's just like you stay with the person through thick and thin, yada, yada, yada. But they don't realize like back in the day, a lot of women were forced into that or were in dangerous situations where they couldn't leave. So it's just like, yeah, they were 60 years of marriage, but it probably wasn't great. They probably wasn't love.
Miserable.
Yeah. So that's probably also why that statistic is changing.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I just feel like that. It's not as big of a shift as I thought it would be because we have pretty much been living with each other for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
But there was always that comfort bucket. I'll call it a little comfort bucket where, you know, you come hang out for a few weeks, but we always knew that if we needed time or if it was just that time, we'll always go back home and we just, you know, take a little time out. And so I think, like, even when we just got to points where it was like, all right, I'm ready for some fucking space, Will, we can like maybe stick in it a little bit longer, or maybe work through some stuff, or just let it breathe, knowing that that day is about to come up, mm-hmm. or knowing we could just hit that timeout whenever. So there was a certain sense of comfort in having that safety net. But I think that's just been the biggest difference for me. The day-to-day stuff, that hasn't changed for the most part, aside from having to, what's the word? Collaborate more. I would say collaborate and...
In what?
And just things that we're doing, like how the room looks. You know, mm-hmm. it's not just what I want to do.
Yeah.
And really being open to coming to terms with, okay, I'm going to let that one go. I'm going to pick my battles.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you have this one. And standing pat on the things I know that I really need, and just finding that balance. Because I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel like this is your space as much as I want to feel like it's my space. So it's about picking and choosing the battles on, you know, what I'm going to let you have. Because you know I can be a little stubborn sometimes.
A little. Hmm.
Yes. A little.
It's an understatement.
A little.
Strong
stubborn.
Understatement.
Yes.
I think the only person that I know that's more stubborn than you is your father.
My child's pretty stubborn too. My child.
Yeah, I guess he is stubborn.
Yeah.
Huh. I always just thought of it as picky, I guess because he's a kid. I feel like stubborn is definitely it though.
He's stubborn.
Shout out to Jazz.
You know, runs in the bloodline, I guess.
Sure does.
Yeah. But yeah, that part was pretty easy, and I think we've done well so far in our first 2 months. But I think the settling into, yeah, like we really are in this every day. There's no getting out. And it's not because I don't love you or don't want you to be around here. It's nothing like that. But I'm a man that likes his own space.
Me too.
And I like having my own crib. I like just my own space.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I have my own office.
Which has been very helpful.
Yeah, if I didn't have that, I don't know how we'd be right now. I ain't going to lie to you. Yeah, I would feel a little tight in here.
Yeah.
Be a little tight. But
that's why it was like mandatory that you had that.
Yeah, I had to have the 3-bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that helps a lot. But even still, aside from that, just like hearing your music playing sometimes, or maybe you're cooking at a time where I don't prefer you to be cooking right now, or cleaning something at a time I don't prefer you cleaning, or in a room I might not necessarily want you to be in right now because I wanted to get in the room. Like, you know, all those little things. It's different now because it's our space. And I know before you were navigating around my space, or if I'm in your space, navigating around your space. But now,
usually
it's your shit.
Me navigating in your space.
No, but even when I've been into your place, you know, and just, how I did things was very much, all right, I'm obliged by the rules here and make sure that, you know, shit is cool. But now it's like, you know, move around your fucking house the way you want to move around your house.
Yeah.
So it's been an adjustment.
It has. I would say for me, like, the biggest benefit is just having all my stuff together. And I didn't realize, I didn't realize how, like, discombobulated my whole life was. I just, like, needed 2 of everything, which is annoying because now I have 2 of everything.
Yeah.
And just, like, having 1 thing at your place and another thing at your at my place, and if we want to go out, it's like I'll have everything that I want for 1 outfit, but like that 1 thing that would just make the outfit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just down to like whatever medicine or herbs or whatever I need just for my day to day. It's just like I had to just split everything, and it was awful, honestly.
Yeah.
It was not fun. I didn't know where half my stuff was a lot of the time, and I ended up kind of just wearing the same things over and over just because it was easier that way. And now just having all my stuff together and organized, I just feel so much more grounded. I feel so much more excited when we go out, or even if we're just staying in, just like even pajamas that I love that I haven't worn in 3 years because they've been at the bottom of whatever and I haven't gotten to that because there's just never time, or I don't know, organization. So having all that has been really nice. Also, just like when it comes to my meditation and workout routine and the stuff that I do for my spiritual self, it's a lot easier to do because all my stuff's together, you know. And it's like sometimes I do like a spiritual ritual where I need to do it like every night before bed. And it's like if I'm with you 7 days out of the week and at my place, you know, or 7 days out of the week, 5 days out of the week, and at my place 2 days out of the week, then it's just like, then I have to carry everything. The carrying everything was awful.
Yeah, I hated you having to run back and forth on the train with big bags all the time.
Always had, my bag was always heavy.
Yeah.
It's like I always had to bring my computer and iPad and then like whatever else.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful that that part of my life is over. Yeah. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful we got a big ass closet that can fit all of our stuff comfortably.
Yeah.
And it looks nice, because if we had a regular size Brooklyn closet, and you know we've seen a lot of them, I don't know if we'd be together right now. We might have to end this shit, because
they're in the whole relationship.
Yeah, just the whole relationship.
Throw it away.
Fucking closet is not big enough for the both of us.
Yeah. Okay?
But no, I'm grateful we have that. But I will say probably one of the biggest challenges was the moving in of all of our shit, because it was like two whole households.
Yeah.
And we both had a lot of shit. And you had more shit than I realized that you had. You had more shit than you realized you had. If we're keeping it real, you know you did.
I still didn't have more shit than you.
I'm just saying, you had more than you realized you had.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm moving a whole house, so yeah, it's to be expected.
I said my room.
Yeah. So I think just like going through, taking the time, deciding what we wanted to keep, what we didn't want to keep,
yeah,
in the midst of trying to live, in the midst of integrating our whole amazing experience that we'll touch on, and not touch on but get into in a minute, it was quite a bit.
Yeah. And also just like the the finding a place process was ghetto. It was awful. And then I feel like if we didn't, because you moved a year ago, and finding you a place was just like, that was awful. So having to just swing around a year later and do it all again, I feel like if we only had to do it once, within that 2 years, it would have been just a lot easier, but it was just like the same thing. New York real estate is just awful right now. Aside from the astronomical numbers that we're dealing with, it's like they'll have a room that's like a decent sized room, but be like, you know what would be great in here? A fucking wall. Let's make this two rooms.
Right.
And then it's just like everything is cut up. So just like going through that process was truly exhausting for me, and it felt really hopeless. I knew that we'd be fine and that it would work out in our favor, but it also just like made me really sad for like, I don't know, just like young people wanting to just try out New York the way most young people want to try out New York. It's just so unreasonable, the market and then what they're offering for the cost. So to see that just really saddened me.
Yeah, if you're trying to move to Brooklyn, you better lace up your boots, put your helmet on and your shoulder pads, because yeah, it's real out here.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, between the rent, the rats, the roaches, even if you live in a nice neighborhood, you might just fuck around and have you some roach neighbors. Rats. It's yeah, real out here. But I think because we needed something specific.
We
it wasn't just a one bedroom or a two bedroom. Like, we needed something that worked for ourselves, that was spacious, because we're not living in no can, mm-hmm, you know, for the kid, and for business.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad we didn't settle. We really manifested the shit out of this place.
No, we truly did. And that's like the next thing that I wanted to get into, is just one of the biggest lessons I learned in getting this home, which is, it just got everything checked off for me, was just allowing. And I just wanted to share like the story on how we almost didn't get this place completely because of me.
Oh, please do.
you too, but it was mostly me. It's like we came and saw this. We had this one place in mind that we really, really liked. It had like a sauna, had all the amenities. And it's like the space itself was a little like more cut up. Like, the space we have now is more open. But the amenities were great and the price wasn't too crazy. So we were like really excited about it and we were stuck on it. And then I would say I was definitely more stuck on it than you were. But the real estate agent asked, like, just didn't get back. It's like, I don't even think we got denied or anything. He just never communicated. It was really, really a bad experience. So then we decided like, okay, plan B, we have to start looking at places. So then we come and see this place pretty early on. We didn't look at many.
We saw this shortly after we saw Dito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was very early on. We see the place and I remember walking in like, this is nice. And it's like, granted, the people who lived here before, it's just like they had very simplistic taste, I shall say. So it was like hard to like see all their furniture and like kind of figure out how we would do it. And usually I don't have trouble with that, but it was hard for me with this place. And I remember liking it, but just like still being stuck on that and just like kind of want to force us to be there instead of attempt to go here. So then we're walking around the neighborhood, and what really just got it for me is you told me that the train was a 15-minute walk. And that's like my main source of transportation. You have a car, so you're always just driving all over the place. But I'm like, I'm not walking 15 minutes in this neighborhood. I'm just not doing that. It's just uncomfortable. I'm not doing it. So that's when we passed on it. And then we end up looking at a trillion other terrible places.
But you're skipping because okay. I really like the place. Like, we're moving around. He is so looking. I'm like, oh, we got a big ass open space living room. We got an island table.
We could put this there kitchen, and that there.
I visualized my office where the booth was going to go.
He had it all set.
Where Jazz's room was going to be. Mm-hmm. We had two bathrooms.
It has a backyard. Like,
backyard?
Yeah.
Mad space. I'm like, yeah, let's go. So we closed the door after the landlord showed us the spot. So I turned to her. So what you think? Honest opinion. And I could tell you wasn't fucking with it because as we were going through and he's showing, she's dead silent. When she's curious about a place and she's interested. Okay. And when did the last people move out? And what's this included? And can we paint the walls? And when was the last time you had a leak? And can we do this? Can we do that? And just mad questions. You're just walking around silent.
It's not how I walked.
It's interesting.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Yes, you were very gung-ho about this place.
So we left and you were like, oh, you know, it's cool. But you wasn't ready. And I wasn't. But I immediately, because I want to make you have something like, this ain't the one, then. If you ain't feeling like how I'm feeling, this ain't the one.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that. I really did. So then, like, we're looking at a slew of places. Then we, like, kind of mentioned, like, maybe we should just throw in an application just to see.
After we saw
a plethora of terrible places. And then we saw that there was an application pending. So then we're like, oh, okay, like, you know, move on to the next. Then another plethora of terrible places or places that just didn't go through or somebody else. It's like also Brooklyn or New York real estate just happens fast. So it's like, it'll be on the market for a week. And it's just like, if you didn't get it on the first day, then you just didn't get it.
Word.
So there's a lot of that happening. I wish it was just that we were just getting denied. It was just a lot of, we just missed it or somebody else got it first.
Right.
So then we get an email saying that, like, about this, the place we're at now, saying that the application is like didn't went through or whatever. Like,
no, because I reached out to her.
Oh, you did?
No, yeah, I reached out to her because I saw that it was still pending.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, why the fuck? We know how it goes. Like, why is it still pending 6 weeks after we had seen the spot? It's a nice ass place. Why is it still available? What's wrong here? So I thought it was fucked up. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I thought it was actually crazy over here. She's like, oh yeah, last minute somebody pulled out. It's still available if you want it. I said, oh, this is a sign from God. You better be ready because this is the place.
Yes.
Put the app in. Nice, easy process. Bada bing, bada boom. And there you go.
Yeah, and it was so beautiful how that went. And it also was on our lower end of our budget, which we were just beyond grateful for. And there was not a lot of that option either. But for me, it was like, really, it really just like woke me up to like, okay, I need to learn to let go of control. And I can use that example in so many other sectors of my life of how I just like try to force things to go a certain way. And I need it to go this way or I'm not comfortable or whatever it is. And it might not be what's best for me, but I'm still trying to make it go that way. So that was just a really good awakening for that. And I see how that even bleeds into like our relationship and our DS dynamic and how like me trying to fight for control that's just not even necessary or isn't even going to benefit my highest self is at a deficit for me.
Yeah. And definitely for me, just trusting my inner voice. Because the first time we was here, it resonated on such a deep level. It was like, oh, this is perfect. This feels great. Yeah. It didn't feel like a struggle to visualize what it would look like. It didn't feel like it would be too hard to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt good. It just felt right. And I should have trusted it then. But, you know, it all worked out. The universe was like, nah, y'all about to get this crib. We're not going to let you fuck it up. And so it was available for us, but I should have just trusted. And I need to just trust more because the voice was there. And it was ready for us. And next time I will absolutely do that.
Yeah, next time I will be more allowing. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out how to do that, how to be more allowing and just like moment to moment. Yeah. Like, where can I let go of control, or where am I trying to control unnecessarily?
Yeah. So we definitely learned a lot when it came to that. And now we are settled. We are in our space. We're in our beautiful bedroom. Yo, this is, oh yeah, our place is called Le Vibes. So if you ever come down to Brooklyn, come hang out with us at Le Vibes, you're in for a treat. Because we put a lot of love into this place. Good. It's a very special place. And the bedroom is exactly what we wanted. We gonna show you later. But I'm really proud of this room. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see a little bit. We got the new set going. And I'm really proud of this place. And I love that I do have your touch on it. Because like, I've elevated my style as I've grown over the last few years. And just seeing how your style is and just getting little pieces from your style. And I think you also pushed me to elevate my style more and just open my mind and expand my palette of what's possible for
1,000%.
Me.
1,000%.
Though I had style, but you've helped, you know, women have style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's progressed and it's evolved. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate having your touch. And just like a bit of a feminine touch, because it's not overly feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a nice balance between both of ours. So I know that it wouldn't quite look like this without you being here.
Yeah.
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 Though it would still be fly.
Yeah,
but not quite like this.
I agree.
Yeah, so I just appreciate your energy in this space and how it will continue to evolve. And I'm grateful for how you've influenced my style and, you know, my taste.
Yeah, no, definitely. I got to witness your taste just evolve. And I agree, you know, my style is extraordinarily like hyper feminine when it comes to my room. And I remember like mourning, I say I remember like it wasn't 2 months ago, I was mourning my bedroom. I thoroughly loved it. It was very opposite of this room. It was like I had white sheets and the walls were like gray with white molding, and I had like the film on the windows where the sunlight would come in and it's just rainbows, and it was just like I loved it. And I remember just feeling really scared, or not scared, but more nervous about like not being able to have that feminine like cocoon that I always had. But I don't feel like I lost that. I do feel like it's just a happy balance of you and me. And I love it for that.
Yeah. And I've seen where you've compromised and been open. And I appreciate your efforts, because I know certain things are harder for you to compromise on.
Yeah.
And there, you know, there were some challenges and some disagreements along the way. Yeah. But I really appreciate that we were able to learn and evolve through, you know, picking this curtain and picking those dishes and picking this coffee table and paint and all of that stuff. I think it has brought us closer, and I think it has helped us learn how to communicate with each other just that much better and having to deal with how we put our home together.
No, I agree. I think we both are very, at least in the past, have been, not just with each other, but with just how we are in our lives, are just very much like, oh, my way, and my way is correct. And I don't think that either of us did that on purpose, but we are very much like that. So then we were just like kind of meeting ourselves when it's just like my way, and the other person's like, no, my way, and it's just like standing so hard in that stubbornness. I think my favorite thing is like when one of us will say something and then the other one disagrees, and then the one that disagrees comes around to what the original thought was,
right?
And then it's just like everyone's happy because now we both came to that conclusion. And I think the green in the bedroom is an example of that.
Right. Yeah. I was initially trying to paint my office green. And well, initially you mentioned green in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, cool. And then I all of a sudden I woke up one day and I was like, no, green in the office. That's it. And I was like, no, it's perfect. Please, just the green of the office. It's great.
I'm so annoyed.
I saw it. I still see it, but I need a different space. This ain't the space for that. So we tried, and I immediately realized, nah, green is not here. Green is green.
After
you
bought the paint.
After we bought the paint. But it was perfect because you wanted the green in here. I was like, no, yes, the green should go in here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was very open to the, because you wanted red here. I was very open to the red.
And you were, and you allowed me to have my green in the office.
I did.
Like, sure. And just by you not fighting me, it's like, all right, cool. And you released and was open to red in here and whatever else we were going to do in here. I was like, I fucking love you for that. Thank you. Because I got the vision and you let me have my vision.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then look how it turned out.
Yeah.
We got our jungle green going on in the room. And it's better than I could have ever imagined it.
Yeah, and it's so important, I think, to, I think in, like, that moment, because I genuinely didn't really care for red in the bedroom, but I know how much you love red, and I also trust your style enough to know that it wouldn't look whack or anything like that. It's just impossible for that to happen with you. So it was very out of my comfort zone to do that, but I knew the importance of just being open, and how I knew if the situation was reversed and I was like really adamant about it, I would want you to at least consider it.
Right.
So just this move has really taught me just how can I do that in any and every moment of our day-to-day life and in this relationship. Like, how can I really just consider your wants and desires and your needs, and while also honoring my own.
Right. Yeah, I think the fact that the place looks as good as it does now, it's like a testament to us growing with each other and allowing and just bonding over this process and connecting on a deeper level. It's like, we figured it out. It looks damn good in here.
Yeah.
And we basically got everything that we wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything where I'm like, if only let that, I can't think of anything.
Right. Yeah. So it's been quite the process, but, I don't know. I guess I didn't think these things would come up until they come up.
Yeah.
You really don't know what your thing is going to be until you get there. Because I know how, like, visually, you know, the aesthetics are important to us. But maybe for other people, it's not as important. So whatever y'all shit is might be completely different. But when you move in together, there's going to be some lessons. There's going to be some shit that comes up. And you're going to have to face it in order to make it work. It's going to happen fast. When you're getting there, it's like, oh, shit.
We're here. Immediately.
I have nowhere else to go. There's no going back home. And I love it for that. That'll test you. And if you're able to do it, if you're able to survive that, then you know you're meant to be together. But I feel like you absolutely have to live with your person to know that they're your person.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
We are.
Yes.
And like, as we transition into like our plant medicine thing, I just also want to just touch again how like exhausted we were going through this process in the beginning.
Oh my
like
God.
To be clear, we when we did our plant medicine experience, the day we did it was like what, September 28th,
right? And as we say plant medicine, it was a spiritual journey that we went on with the assistance of some plant medicines that we'll slightly get into as we talk about our experience. But we went through a very transformative, deep down the rabbit hole experience. So after coming out of that, your whole world is flipped upside down.
Okay.
Having to, 48 hours later? I think we had to go back home and pack that day or the next day.
So the day we were walking into, like, it wasn't even the day. The moment we were like, we got out the car, we're walking to go do it. That's when we found out that we got the place. So we already like knew, but it's just like we didn't have the confirmation yet. So we finally got the confirmation, and then we go into this experience. So then we come out of the experience like on a Sunday, and then that Monday we have to start packing. So it was a lot happening. It was a lot happening. And on top of it, there was a really unfortunate house fire at your mom's.
Yeah.
So where it's just like everything was lost, and it was really hard. That happened earlier in the month. So it's just like where we knew we were going to move. So it's like that time that we should have been spending packing. We had to help mom out.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that we did, you know, we were able to just take the time to do that because we weren't really rushed out of your apartment or mine.
Yeah.
So we were able to just spend the time that we should have done packing, helping mom out.
Yeah. And bringing that up, I would definitely love, we'll put a link in the description. We started a GoFundMe for my mother. She had a very severe house fire in her place, and she lost everything. And she had a really nice apartment here in Brooklyn and all kinds of stuff. And she had a business that she was running out of it. And she lost everything. So, you know, if you feel so inspired, if you connect with us and love us, that means you love my mom, because I wouldn't be me without moms. So please just go hit the link and, you know, donate whatever you can to help her get back on her feet. But even with that, it was like the burning down of her place as we're starting anew in our place. Yeah, it was so much
weird.
Shit happening
so
to really make us think.
Yeah, and that's also like why this recording didn't happen. It's just like we were dealing with a lot of stuff.
This year, 2023 been wild.
It was, and I said this before, I think in the Thanksgiving post, just like we got a lot of like every flavor of life we got.
Yeah.
And you know, like dad passed away earlier in June, so that happening with mom, the fire, it was really triggering.
Yeah, less than 3 months later.
Yeah, it was really triggering. And just like seeing mortality happen and then having to move and then having to help her figure her stuff out and then going through this transformative experience, it was exhausting.
Yeah,
it was truly exhausting. And trying to like keep it together and go into finding our home with grace and without feeling like we have to do it, without that scarcity, you know. Yeah. It was a lot, but I could not have done it without you.
Yeah.
I could not have done it without you. I wouldn't pick any other person to do it with.
Yeah. And I know it was just, it was aligned for what was necessary, what we needed for our paths now. And even as we just sit here now and talk about it on this episode, and just feeling very powerful and knowing how aligned we are, so much that these experiences have happened, and not taking it for granted and not letting the lessons go and just fading away. Like, nah, there's no, that didn't happen for no reason.
Yeah.
And just knowing how precious life is. Like, I couldn't imagine. I just lost dad in June, and I got the call. I was out and I got the call that the house burned down. And just if I had lost my mother in that moment, because it was a bad enough fire, she could be not here right now.
Luckily, everybody was safe.
Yeah, everybody was safe and okay. But just how it was that easy for her not to be here right now. Where would I be right now? What? So just loving on her and just loving all the people in my life. And it just made me really see it differently. It was one thing with my dad, because he had cancer and we saw it coming. He's been battling that for years. But mom was all right. She's fine out here running the streets, living her best life.
Today's actually her birthday.
Yes, today's happy birthday, her birthday. Happy birthday, mom. And to know, you know, it was that close to being a really bad situation.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, just really hold on to the people that you love and live the fuck out of your life, yo. Yeah. Live your life to the fullest. And so that's what we're doing here. And it's a great segue into the work that we've been doing on ourselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've been kind of working on ourselves, I would say. I mean, we've been working on ourselves well before we met.
Yeah.
But it was a different, it hit on a different level. And the amount of work that we started to do changed a lot. Number one, just COVID happening and having so much time to go within in this new world that we were living in during that time. Being in a real loving relationship in a way that we haven't been before, which forced us to face ourselves and our challenges, and you know, learning so much about ourselves really kind of turned up the growing.
Yeah.
And then all the work that we've been consciously doing over the last few years leading up to this year, and definitely for me personally, just having to really focus my attention outwardly with my father and really thinking about life. What am I doing with my life? What did he do with his life? What legacy did he leave? What did I learn from him? What did I wish that we could have done? Just all of these things really, really started having me think about my life and what it is that I'm doing with everything, and being very intentional about that and really just wanting to be my best self. How can I be the best version of myself for real? Not just the, how can I be the best, you know, and grow? No, but like for real, like look in the mirror, realize I'm going to die one day.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck am I doing while I'm here? What is my purpose here? What am I doing here? What am I leaving for the world? What am I leaving for you? What am I leaving for our kids? And did I die knowing I gave everything and I squeezed every drop of life out that I could? You know, it really made me think about those things. And I realized the areas that I wasn't okay in, and it really made me address them now and realize I've been putting stuff to the side. And I've been not hiding things, but just not addressing things. And that's when you were showing me about shadow work. And that's why I'm so grateful to have a partner who can show me. I would have never looked up shadow work. Yeah. That seems like some dark, you know, spell casting shit that you do with some candles in the back of a fucking dungeon or something. I don't know.
It
can be. It can be many things. But really what it is shedding light to the areas in our lives that we leave in the shadow, and whatever it is. And there's things that we're not addressing about who we are or what we want to be or our challenges or our traumas or whatever it is. It's the things in our life that we are not shedding light on. And they sit there in the shadows and they pile up and they pile up and they pile up over time. And next thing you know, you just have these heavy coats of just deep shit that you don't realize is sitting on you.
Yeah.
While you're trying to grow and evolve and fly, you can't spread your wings because you got all of this darkness on you. And so for me, I realized, okay, I'm ready to transcend into this next phase of my life. Why am I still having the same struggles? Because it was like life was happening, all the areas, life was happening. And I kept seeing myself say the same kind of story. Oh, well, I can't do it because this is happening. Oh, well, that's going on right now, so it's keeping me from doing that. Oh, well, I want to get to that, but I got to deal with this. And I'm just like, the same theme kind of happening over and over again.
Yeah.
It might not be these things. It might be me.
Yeah.
Because life is going fucking life. It's going to happen. That's one thing I learned about this shit. Life is going to life, people. You're not going to escape it, but it's about your perspective and it's about how you respond to life that will affect your life. And I was not showing up at my highest self, and I was using these external things to dictate what was happening next in my life. So you saw that whole process happening to me, and I feel like you just was so happening to start doing the shadow work right around that time, like a little bit before I started really sitting down having these questions, like, all right, what's up?
Yeah.
So you were kind of doing that on the side. And I heard you talking about your dark feminine work that you could definitely touch on, and the shadow work. And then I started looking up the shadow stuff. And then I realized it was so much stuff in my life that I was leaving in the shadows.
Yeah.
But where did you start with? Because I think that the dark femininity and that really ties well into each other. So I would love to hear more about that. How you got started with that.
I feel a little on the spot.
But it was just how it started. Because that was the catalyst for this next phase of our growth together.
Yeah. As I got into my spiritual journey and just the things that I've been doing and researching and exploring has been like within just like the realm of goddesses. And there's so many different goddesses across so many different cultures that we can have access to if we decide to. So I came across like dark femininity and light femininity, like it became really popular on TikTok recently, Instagram, whatever, on social media. And it just seemed something that I just really resonated with. And I also saw that it was like very surface level on social media. And I knew that it was something dark, like deeper. So I started to research it. So I came across like a few amazing dark goddesses like Lilith, like Hecate, like Kali, lots of different ones who help to support you and embodying that type of archetype. So to just give a quick definition of what it is, you have light femininity and dark femininity. Light femininity is like, that's like the stereotypical or like, not stereotypical, but like that baseline of when you think feminine. It's like the nurturer, the light pinks and the soft whites and the kisses and the motherly feeling and the cooking and the cleaning. It's like, that's light feminine energy. That's light feminine work where you're nurturing and taking care of others and you're, just kind of spreading love in that way. And it's important and it's necessary. And we all have light feminine energy in us. And then you have dark feminine energy, which is not talked about as often. And dark feminine energy is all about passion. It's about creativity. It's about power. It's about sex. It's about knowing yourself in that realm of things. And just growing up with the 11 beautiful sisters that I have, growing up with the amazing mother that I have, I got light feminine energy down. It's just that wasn't a question for me. And dark femininity, I think, is more natural to me, but it's something that we're not taught. It's something that is kind of seen as bad because it's dark, and dark doesn't necessarily mean negative. So it's something that I had to just kind of fine tune and cultivate more. And I've spent like the last year doing so, maybe a little more. And so you have the light feminine and you have the dark feminine. And when you have the two combined and balanced in your life, you then have the divine feminine. So I've been on my own journey about how can I bring the divine feminine in my life? How can I embody those two things at all times? How can I be both nurturing and creative and powerful and sexy? Like, how can I create that balance within my life? Mm-hmm. So when you call on these archetypes, like specifically Lilith, I've called on, and she helps with shadow work. So, and as you explained, shadow work is, you know, shedding light to those darker parts of you that's holding you back. So I went on a really deep just journey trying to figure out what my shadow is. And I've done a lot of journaling. I've done a lot of deep meditation in figuring that out. And I think I scratched the surface of it, but it wasn't until we did our plant medicine journey where I got to see it fully. Like, okay, like all the lights are on. It's right there, there, and there. And I got to just like sit with it. And, you know, during our experience, it was everything that I was not expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. But it was everything that I needed. But it was also really hard, and it wasn't a palatable experience. It wasn't rose petals and daisies, just like, oh, here's your shadow. It's just like, bitch slap, here's your shadow, honey.
Right.
So like to be so confronted with my flaws so aggressively was really intense.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to really hide from the experience, and I felt really embarrassed for a lot of things surrounding that experience, and it made me just kind of suppress it and just like kind of pull back. And that became really not good for myself and for you in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because it started to like build up again. Like those shadows started to get dark again.
You're saying after ceremony?
Yeah, after ceremony.
Okay, well, let's make sure we make it clear, because they're not going to know what the fuck we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, that's fair.
And I want to go back real quick to touch on, let me say what I wanted to say about the dark feminine, because I saw you connecting with that side of yourself, and I was very attracted to you connecting with that side of yourself and seeing that, and just the vibration of that feels good to me. You know, mm-hmm. like y'all know us. Y'all know how we do. We not out here. It's not all just butterflies and fucking rainbows. We like, you know, alternative ways of expressing ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's say that. So
that was modest.
Right. But I liked that through tapping into dark femininity, it was basically saying, for at least what I gathered from it, because I was like, well, shit, you got your dark feminine. Let me find my dark masculine. And I started going on the same journey. It's a similar thing. And what I gathered from
it. I so appreciated that, too.
Yeah, I liked it. So it was feeling good. I just wanted to find my version of it.
Yeah.
And what it was, I feel like, in a nutshell, was giving permission to express things that are not typically socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Not the cookie cutter, you know, follow the lines, color inside the lines that society gives you. It's saying, this is what resonates with me, and this is what I'm going to do. You do you. Cool. I accept you. I don't really care if you accept me or not. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Because I like this. This feels good to me. It's what I feel called to do or feel called to express. So I'm going to express however dark or different that may be from whatever light version you were fed that you feel like you should do. And there's nothing wrong with the light side either, but if you feel you can't step out of the light side out of fear of doing it wrong.
Or fear of going into the dark.
Right. Yeah. Then that's a problem. If you feel called to something else, you should be able to do that. And it's such freedom that is offered to you by you tapping into those other frequencies and those other energies to be able to express the full spectrum of who you are and not limiting yourself based on what society has said you should be. So that's the, like, the, in a nutshell, what I've gathered. And it was like, yeah, I am a dark motherfucker and I like this.
Yeah.
And it made me feel more whole. And I saw you feeling more whole as well. And it gave us words to put around what we've been doing, because we've been expressing. Yeah. We didn't need these terms to give us permission, but it is nice to have some words to help further explain what it is that we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what that was for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's because we all have both the light and the dark in us. It's just a matter of how accepting or willing or how much of each you want to have or that you naturally have.
Right. There's no right or wrong either way.
There's no right or wrong. And I think that when people hear it, when they hear dark, they think just like evil or scary or bad. And it's just not like that. I love that what you just said about it makes you feel more whole.
Because
like I said, when you have the light and you have the dark, you then get the divine.
Right.
And I feel like I've been heading more towards that.
Right.
Of having just true balance in my life.
Right. And I think what would be a good thing for the listeners, especially for anyone is like having some kind of resistance or any reaction to these terms that we're mentioning, to just like really take a second and just be like, okay, dark femininity, dark masculinity, shadow work. Huh. I feel something. Why do I feel something? What is it that I'm feeling? Why is it coming up? And really sit with that and ask yourself those questions and then just listen. Because remember, I was talking about the voice earlier. We all have this voice that guides us, and it guides us in a way that nothing else possibly could. And so just listen. What is it that I'm feeling? And then by doing so, you may realize there's nothing there. It's just you. Or it might be your parents. Or it might be that one teacher who told you that that wasn't okay to do. Or it might be someone from your church who painted this picture as, these things are not okay to do. But then you realize, oh, I got those from these external places. Yeah. But these are not things that I have chosen or that I deem is okay for myself. And we're scared a lot of times to say, well, this is what I want. Because we've been taught, no, you have to do it that way, or you have to do it that way. And the biggest one, and I'm not going to go down a deep, you know, hole of it, but one of the biggest things is religion.
Yeah.
Religion really can, depending on how, you know, you receive it and who's giving it to you, can really keep you in a box full of fear and shame that you're living your life wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so we really encourage y'all to do a deep dive if what we're saying right now resonates with y'all, and be able to tap into these other parts of yourselves and see what's there. Because a lot of us, we just, there's parts of us screaming, dying to come out. Yeah. Please play with me. You'll have so much fun if you just play with me. And we're just leaving them in the closet forever.
Yeah.
And you will feel so free and so fulfilled by adding that to the wholeness of who you are. You know, so that's what we were doing for a few months. And then we got into the shadow work. And then from there, then I realized it was time to get back to ceremony.
Yeah. One thing you just said that I really appreciated, which was a big part of my ceremony, then we can preface it better, is just like kind of realizing like, what are all these external factors that are influencing me and what is actually me? Like, that's been such a lesson in my life this past year. Because those who know, you know, the foundational parts of me is I'm the youngest of 21 siblings. And so I have a lot of influence in my life where it's like, you know, these are my big sisters and brothers. It's like I idolize them. I look up to them. And then, you know, also my parents. So it took a minute for me to realize like certain things just weren't mine, didn't belong to me, like certain ideologies, certain thought processes. even little things like cilantro. Like I really decided in my mind that I didn't like cilantro because my sister didn't. Mm. So just like sitting there and like itemizing like, okay, what is actually me? And I think that if enough people did that, they would realize that we just carry around a lot of other people's stuff and it's heavy.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy, heavy, heavy.
And it's like, I have my own problems. That's right. Already heavy. It's right. Like, I don't need the extra load. So just like realizing like, oh, this is hers, and just putting it down. And not trying to process it, not trying to make it bigger than anything it is, than it is. It's just like, oh, this doesn't belong to me.
Right.
Like, just that simple. It can be that simple if you allow it to be.
Right. And just kind of tying it back to my father, just to make it make a little more sense. A lot of the processing that I was doing was thinking about all of the things that he tried to instill in me over the years. Mm-hmm. And me knowing that I had a resistance with a lot of this stuff, and like, kind of, okay, what were the things that he was trying to instill? What did I have the resistance about? Okay, how did I end up turning out to be this way? And honestly, being grateful, I didn't go with a lot of the things that he thought was good for my life. We're two different people. We grew up in two different worlds. And in my world, I needed to be this Amir.
Yeah.
I didn't need to be that Ronald. You know what I'm saying? And being okay with that, still loving him and being grateful. Damn, I'm so glad I didn't follow that route and that life that he thought was best for me. And guess what? When it was all said and done, when he was on his deathbed, he looked at me proud as fuck. Like, damn, son, you're doing great. And he said that to me. He was like, I'm so proud of you. You did it. I'm so grateful. And we would not have been able to have that moment if I would have went about it his way. He wouldn't have been able to be proud of me because I would have been fucking miserable.
Yeah.
So to have that full circle moment with him at the end, knowing I did do it my way, and I followed that, and it turned it out, that's what he wanted anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I say that to say, like, really live in your truth, live in your way. And if you're really doing that and you're operating on a high level doing that, those people, they'll see it in your life. Those people you care about, their opinions, they will see it, and they'll either love it or they won't.
Yeah.
But you'll love it. And that's really all that matters.
That's really all that matters.
Yeah. So we were doing a lot of this. We were doing a lot of this work. And then it was time to kick it up a notch, because we were ready to like really transform our whole paradigm, our whole life shift.
Yeah.
It was time for one of those. And it was time for one of those resets. And we won't speak specifically to what it is that we did. There's a whole, you know, there's just a lot of stuff around it, and definitely health wise and medically, we don't want to specifically promote anything, then tell y'all to do it and y'all fuck around and do it and have something crazy happen and put it on us. Please don't. But we were called to doing some medicine work, and you know, we're definitely, we dabble in different things that help enlighten and elevate us to levels where we can really tap into God. Let's just say that. And through plant medicine, there's different ones out there. Again, do your research. You're able to do that. And so we did a ceremony where we tapped into God.
Yeah.
And we knew it was time, and we felt called to do that. And we were, I'll just speak for myself. I'll let you speak for yourself.
Thank you.
But I know I was forever changed. And this wasn't my first time doing this. This was my second experience. My first time was right before COVID. And I got so much benefit out of that to even inspire me to want to do deeper work on myself. But this time around, I already kind of was getting the wheels going with that. And it was time to take it to the next level in my evolution. And what was seeking to emerge in me was, I call it my God mode. That's what I really feel called to tap into, my greatness, like my God mode. And I think we all have a God mode within us. And it's the highest version of yourself. It's the version of yourself that flows with ease, that's powerful, that's not stifled by your insecurities or your fears or other people's shit on you. It's when you're fully operating on your highest level, free and fully embodying your power in whatever it is that you're doing. So artists, when they're making music or they're painting a mural or sculpting something, they're in their God mode when they're allowing that to flow. When an athlete is dropping 50 on you or running for 10 touchdowns in the game or whatever the case is, like, they're in their God mode. They're tapped into that place. And I've had it in little glimpses, but I wanted to be able to really embody that. It was calling me. That voice inside was like, you got something that needs to come out. Stop playing small. It's time. And so during our ceremony, that's what I was acting. I was asking for, to activate on my God mode and to be able to know what that feels like and to be able to live that. And so that's what I got. That is what the fuck I got. And funny enough, because with the ceremony, you know, we set intentions first, because intention is everything. You can't do anything really in this world without having a clear intention, or do it with high success. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Without having an intention for what it is that you want to do. So I was very clear in my intention. I want to tap into my God mode, my greatness, my power. I want to feel that shit for real so that I can give that to y'all and what we're doing right now. Like, I feel it even in this moment. I feel tapped in and I locked in. And I know somebody's going to hear this and it's going to help put some things in perspective and click for them. And that's the purpose of that. So I got that out of the experience. But before I could tap into my greatness, I had to get rid of all the shit. I had to get rid of that shit that was in the shadow, going back to the shadow work. Mm-hmm. And so I realized for quite a long time, many years, probably the last 10 to 15 years, that I haven't been okay. I think that's like one of the first things I said to you.
Yeah.
I was not okay.
Yeah.
I was not okay. And I had this mask on, the I'm okay mask. And I put that mask on and I went out into the world and I smiled and I kept on pushing through. And if you looked at me on the surface, you didn't know me. You think I'm fine. Oh, he's cool. He's got it together. He's a nice guy. Shit, he seems fine. Mm. Hell no. And it wasn't that I was being fake, like I was being a different person, but I was not happy. I was not at peace. I was not confident. I was not clear in what I wanted to do, what to do in my life. So I realized I was walking around with that. And in catching that lesson, what I got is that a lot of us is out here doing that.
Yeah.
And that most of us are not okay.
Yeah.
We might be okay for moments.
Yeah.
We might lie to ourselves and think we're okay because we're not doing our shadow work and realizing our closet is overflowed with bullshit.
Yeah.
The
kids are not all right.
They're not all right. And I realized, I know this to be true. A lot of us, most of us, I dare say, most of us are not okay. And that's why we're having so many challenges in our life, because if we really sat down and kept it real with ourselves and looked at ourselves and faced ourselves, we realize we're not okay. So it's a bunch of not okay people moving around the world, trying to connect with not okay people. And we're all out here just fucked up.
And hurting each other.
Hurting each other and wondering why it's not working.
Yeah.
Wondering why we go after trauma after trauma after trauma after trauma, picking the same partners over and over and over again in different ways. And then next thing you know, we're 70, 80 years old. We didn't settle for somebody. Wasn't okay. We were never okay during our marriage. And then it's over.
Yeah.
And then you raise kids that are not okay because you're not okay to raise your kids properly. And that was a message that I got there, and it really woke me the fuck up. It made me face all my stuff. I had to go, and it was intense. I had to clear my gutters, is what I said, and get rid of all that shit. And the biggest lesson that I got out of it is realizing that none of this is real. And if I can leave y'all with nothing else, if you don't take nothing else away from what I said other than this message right here, realize that there's this illusion of how this whole world works. We've been just taught a certain way of living, and that life is this specific thing. It's what you see in front of your face, and what you see is what it is. But what I got is that we are the creators of our reality in every aspect of our lives, and our mind is the biggest player in the whole thing. And so our perspectives on life, on who we are, or what we see, what's going on in front of us is all us. We get to dictate that. And it makes you feel so powerful knowing you control all of it. Life, again, life is going life. Mm-hmm. It's going to life, but it's how you look at that thing. Is that thing a bad thing? Or is it just a thing? Can you overcome this thing? Can you change it? Of course you can. And I felt so empowered knowing I can dictate my world.
Yeah.
I can dictate my world. You want to say something?
I was going to say that before we went through this experience, I talked to one of the medicine people, and she said that during the whole process, it's just a constant choice between love and fear.
Yes.
It's either you're choosing love and you're embracing the process, because it's a really tumultuous experience regardless. I think for most people, I would say. So in choosing love, you are just allowing. You're just letting go of control and just allowing. And when you choose fear, you're trying to control it so it's less scary, so it's less bad, so you don't really see the full truth. And that's when it becomes really rocky, and the experience goes from maybe bad to extremely bad to like just, it's terrifying. And I realized just in day-to-day life, it's just like, it's a constant choice between love and fear. And I gave this example before of, you can choose love and fear with something as simple as making bacon. It's like, you can choose love and just like, I'm going to make this delicious bacon for my man, for myself, for my child. And it's going to be so yummy. It's going to be like perfectly crisp, not burnt, not raw. It's just going to be amazing. I'm going to take it out and put it on a plate and we're going to eat it. And it's just going to be divine. Or you can choose fear, because Lord knows if you make bacon, I'm a vegetarian, I don't know why I'm using this example, but Lord knows if you're making bacon, the oil is popping out, and it burns, it hurts, it gets crazy if it's too high, and it's just like, then you're like going at the pan, like, oh my God, this is so aggressive, I'm so scared, I don't want to get burnt. Next thing you know, there's oil all the place, and then the oil was too high, so it's burned, it doesn't even taste good. So it's like one side's burnt, the other side's raw, and it's just like, damn, this was a waste of my time, and I got hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's just like something as simple as that can be a love or fear choice. And then you can go grander. Like, where am I choosing love or fear when it comes to my love life, or when it comes to the sex that I'm having, or it comes to the choices that I'm making and the career path that I'm going on?
Right. Because the thing is just the thing. And that is like... Yeah. What I was seeing, and just to kind of put it into perspective, the experience that I was going through was really like Neo taking the red pill in the Matrix. Like, yeah. That's what I did. I took the fucking red pill and I went all the way the fuck down the rabbit hole. And I saw what we're not able to tap into on a day-to-day basis, because it's just a barrage of shit hitting us. Mm-hmm. And it's getting in the way from us being able to tap in to that other, 90% of our brain that they say that we're not able to tap into, and we use only, they say, 3%?
I think it's five.
Yeah. I use all my shit.
Yeah.
I used all my shit. And so being able to have that type of access to yourself, you realize what you're capable of, and everything slows down.
Yeah.
And you see the truth. And all the bullshit, the curtains get pulled back, the illusions get melted away in front of your eyes, and you realize a moment is just a moment. That's all it is. But you choose what that moment means, and you have the power to change that moment. So to piggyback off the love and fear thing, the thing is, whatever it is, you can move in love, you can embrace that moment and welcome it as just a moment. It's like when seasons change. When the flowers and the leaves die, you can either look at it like, oh, that's so sad, the flowers died and they're falling off, and the leaves are falling, they're brown, and we gotta rake them up now, and they're dead, and the trees are all bare. Or you can embrace it. Wow, look at these beautiful brown leaves on the ground now. Look at the evolvement of life.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for the spring to come when they make some new beautiful flowers and leaves. And that's moving with love. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, it's just the fucking tree doing its thing. It's just the tree doing its thing, but it either can be a terrible experience or it can be a loving experience. Yeah. But the thing is just the thing. And so to apply that to, you know, what it is that we're talking to, because I know we're getting a little spiritual on y'all today, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's really important to have a real connection with yourself. Do you want to live a surface life? You know, just kind of being fed shit that we see online as the things that should be important to us or how we operate our lives? Or do we want to have real connections with ourselves and be our highest self and then go out in the world?
Yeah.
Cause I feel way more empowered. Like, I know nothing can fuck with me now.
Yeah.
Nothing can touch me now because I'm in control and I have the power to dictate it all. And so to kind of tie it back to the work that we're doing and having these conversations to communicate the masculine and feminine perspectives on all things sex and relationships, you can't truly do that until you truly know yourself.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Know who you are, know what you want, and be able to operate in a place of love.
Yeah.
Because once you're operating in a place of love, then people who are operating in fear and control and doubt and just negativity, now you get to remove them. The universe has this beautiful way of just removing them from your lives because y'all are on different frequencies. So instead of fighting, resist, bumping heads, all this trauma and stress with partners that don't align with us, or we can't find the person, just tap into yourself and choose love.
No, seriously. And I think that a lot of people become eager to be in a relationship because they don't want to be alone, but not really doing the work to be in a relationship. And I feel like, and I say this all the time, I feel like I did all the work that I could before I met you. Like, sure, there might have been a few other things I could have worked on, but I really put in work because I knew that to get the person that I really desired, I needed to work on myself and I needed to let go of a lot of baggage in order to even be attractive to the person that I would be attractive to.
Right.
And that's like the whole point of it. And I feel like I did that prior to this relationship and now it's okay. I found that person. Now I have to continue to be worthy of keeping this person, you know, and I have to continue to level up to stay with this person because he's doing the work.
Right.
And then it becomes just more glorious. There's so much more ease that we've had in this 2 months that we haven't had in the last 3.5 years.
Right.
And it's just so much more understanding and just more lightness. And we always had the love. Like, that was never a question here. But now it's just the allowing and just like being with each other and not trying to force you into this box of, well, this is what the man that I want to be with is supposed to be like. This is what I need from the relationship. It's more so, this is who you are and I accept you fully. And I'm going to figure out how we can mesh together so that we can be one within this relationship.
Right. And once you feel that power of connecting with yourself, it inspires you to want to continue to show up in your fullness and not put on masks to appease other people and play small. That's moving in fear. But to say, hey, this is me, this is all of me, and lovingly accept whatever comes from that. Because you don't have control over other people. You can only control yourself. But if you love and respect yourself, you will honor yourself by showing up as your full self. And if people love and respect you, they will show up and honor that person you're choosing to be. And so I know for us, it's making me be very conscious about who am I showing up to be every day and pushing myself to continue to show up and being free and fine and knowing worst case scenario, this doesn't work out for you, and being able to find love in the pain that could potentially come if we can't be together anymore.
No, absolutely that. I think that a lot of people, when they're in relationships that, you know, I feel like a lot of people just get really comfortable. I know I definitely got comfortable at some point in our relationship where it's just like, I know he's not going anywhere, so I can just do what I want. And that's, one, just very unkind. But two, there's so much, it's just like a level of manipulation to put that mask on in a relationship and say like, oh, I'm going to do these things because I know if I don't, he'll probably leave, but I don't genuinely want to do those things. And I know that's a big thing with you as far as like our DS dynamic. Like, you want me to want to do those things, like whatever things for you.
Right.
And it is important because then it becomes, I see your full self. I see your true self. And you have a really good understanding of who this true self is because you did the work to figure it out. And I accept you and I love you and I will continue to do the work to maintain this with you.
Right.
And I feel like when you don't do self-work to grow, you are putting yourself and your relationship at a deficit because then it's just this mask and wearing the mask is a form of manipulation. It is saying, yeah, I am the person that you want me to be. Yeah, I am, you know, the person who gets you flowers or fucks you good and da-da-da-da-da, but behind the mask, you're actually not happy. You're not enjoying doing any of those things, and it's just a really obligatory thing that's happening.
Right.
And that's not a fair way to live, and that's not a fair way to have someone else live thinking that they are actually in a fairy tale when it's just a story that they're in.
Right. And it makes you really think, do I really love this person?
Yeah. Or do I love the mask? It's like, I don't mean to cut you off.
Well, I was going to say, do I love this person? But how can you love this person if you can only be with this person if you wear this mask?
Yeah.
Or do I love myself? Mm-hmm. How could you love yourself if you don't be yourself?
Seriously.
You're literally killing yourself.
And if you don't fully love yourself, you really can't love somebody else.
No.
There's like that surface level love where it's like, I care for you and I want you in my life. But to like fully, unconditionally love someone, I don't think that that's possible if you don't love yourself.
Right. And when we use the word love, it doesn't even mean the most Disney romantic love. But I mean, do you have love for people? If you're engaging with anyone and seeking whatever form of connection, do you have love for this person or not? Are you, what kind of positive loving connection? Because again, it's just fear or love. I think a lot of times we get caught up in like that deep love. But do you got love for this person or not? And if you don't, you probably, you know, wanna ask yourself, what am I even doing here? But the beautiful thing about all of it, and that I really got that lesson from Ceremony as well, is that all of it is perfect. Because we feel a lot of pressure to get things right and not do them wrong and fix it and all of that. But the beauty of it all is it's all perfect. There's no right or wrong ever. It's what is aligned with us and what doesn't align with us. And when things don't feel good and they don't align with us, then we have the power to just change and just maneuver and do things differently. But it's always all good.
It is.
And to give yourself grace.
Yeah. And that was like what my biggest lessons in Ceremony became. For me, my intention was to shed light to my shadow and figure out what is holding me back. Like I've been feeling like I feel like I have the blueprint to do the things to, you know, get to greatness, to get to the life that I desire, to get to the whatever I want or need. And there's just like something that's just been like kind of like, I'll get there, then it just like tugs me back. And it's just like, wait, just like constantly. And showing up in so many different forms. So my intention was to shed light, and boy, was it bright in there. The light was shining. And like one of the main things that I got was just like, in being a little sister of so many people, being a little sister to so many people has been burdensome in a way. Where it's like, now I'm gonna be 29 next month, and like I'll be around one of my older siblings, and it's like I revert back to little sister. And it's really just been stunning my relationships. Because I should be talking to them just as a sibling. Just like, yes, I'm your sister and I am younger than you, but I'm not a child. You know, I don't need to be talked down to or reprimanded. I don't need to ask you for things the way that I used to, because I'm grown and I can figure these things out on my own. But it became a crutch and it became a lot of dependency, because I'd never been alone. I never had to do anything alone. And then that kind of like became exacerbated when you came into my life, because then it just was like me living with my sister, and then now it's me living with you. So it's like the things that I would depend on them for, I like would start to depend on you for. So that became what was holding me back, is I was not allowing myself to be fully independent and fully show up for myself in the ways that I really needed to, and in the ways that were required for me to just step into like my grown woman shit. And like, okay, like you want to be this dark feminine, whatever. It's like, you can't do that and then just be this little sister running around. You just can't.
Right.
And not saying that, like, you know, if you're a little sister, it's like a negative thing or a bad thing. It's not. It's just the way that I was moving in my life and the relationships that I have with these, with my siblings and with these people in my life, even you. I just wasn't showing up fully and independently.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started to, like, second guess my intuition is what it really turned into.
Mm.
I started to, like, if I felt something or if I knew something, I would, like, need to, like, call you or somebody for confirmation to make sure I was correct.
Right.
And that second guessing is not healthy. Especially when, like, I think my intuition is very strong. My gut is really strong. I can spot something from a billion miles away and then be correct.
Right.
So then to second guess something as powerful as that was just, it was not working. So it's like, of course I'm in the situation that I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of my biggest lessons, in letting go of that and realizing how just dependent I've been.
Yeah.
And the other one was really, like, yesterday was the 9th anniversary of my mother's passing. And it's like, it's been 9 years, but it feels like yesterday still, you know? And it's just like, never feels, I don't know, it never feels that far. And I had this thought of like, wow, like pretty soon it's going to be I'll get to an age where I've lived more years than I had my mom. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I've bypassed that with my father already. It's been 18 years? It's been 18 years since Abby passed? 2004? It was 2005.
Yeah, 18 years.
Wow. So. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's been 18 years since my dad. So, and I lost him at 10. So, like, that's 8 extra years, you know? And it's just like, shit changes when that happens, when you get to that other side of that. So, like, during my ceremony experience, I really sat with, like, okay, what is that? Look like, what does that mean to be someone who lost their parents and, like, both of them, and then to grow up into adulthood without them? And it's just like, I really don't like using the term, like, daddy issues, but it's just like, that's kind of what it turns into. And then, like, the mommy issues that also came up that I didn't expect, but just like seeing how my story very much became like, I'm this, like, young orphan girl who, like, lost her both parents before the age of 20.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I became that story, and it was just like, feel bad for me. Oh, I could have done that, but this happened to me. And it just became an excuse, a damn good excuse. Don't get me wrong, but it definitely became an excuse where it was holding me back from stepping into this power. And it's just like these little versions of me, of little girl who lost her parents and little sister who depends on her siblings. It was those two things were really stopping me from just growing up.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting that that was what came up for you from your childhood. Because on my side, and I see how, like, how depending on others was so important. I mean, you know, especially like losing your father is like the foundation of the household.
Yeah.
And how influential he was in your family, from what you told me, to already need to start relying on more people and having to step up. And then your mom going to having to rely on more people and step up even more. And you're the baby of a very large family. So how they probably were supporting you, thinking how it ties into me and how immediately getting with you, I felt the responsibility of, like, taking that on and taking care of you.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to taking care of an adult.
Yeah.
So I immediately felt that, and I was faced with challenges around that and, like, really challenging me and making me have to grow so I can show up for you. I got to be strong enough. I got to be equipped enough to be able to show up for you physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, whatever it called on, and all these areas to be able to do that when I was always alone.
Yeah.
I just had to deal with my shit. I didn't have people helping me like that. I didn't really feel supported in the ways that I knew I needed to be supported in order for me to thrive. I was alone figuring this shit out on my own. I just do my own thing. I put my head down and I do what I gotta do. So to tie it kind of back to ceremony as well, we got a lot of support. We got a lot of help because we're going through such profound things. You need support. You know, if you're going to do any kind of plant journey, you need people there to help support you, to help guide you, especially when you're having some challenges. Because, again, we went down the fucking rabbit hole. You know, this is not a skip to the park here. Mm-mm. And I'm not used to leaning on people. Yeah. I'm used to throwing my I got it mask on and just figuring it out.
Yeah. Even with me.
Right. Even with you. And so a big thing that came up was I don't ask for help.
Yeah.
Because I just do it on my own. I don't ask for help. And because I have to do it on my own and I don't ask for help, I become very self-centered because I've created this environment where it's even harder to get support because I don't even ask for it. And I don't trust others to be able to help me. So I got to focus on myself right now because it's hard out here. You out here alone, it's extra hard.
Yeah.
And so I became very self-centered over the years, just trying to have self-preservation and not supporting others. So now you're in my world. You're used to getting support. I'm used to doing my own thing. Now I got to support you. So it, on both sides, it challenged us to show up in new ways. Okay. To support somebody else that I love, to help someone else, to ask you for help.
Yeah. And it's so funny you say that about just like that dependency and asking for help. It's like, I am quick to ask for help, but I also don't trust that you'll do it properly.
Right.
So it's like, we're in the same boat with that, but I'll definitely ask for help. And, but it's like, I won't just ask you for help. I'll ask you and three other people. So when the first two fuck up, I got some backup.
Mm.
And then it became a lot of me doing things on my own or taking care of things on my own where, I just didn't trust people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't trust that it would be done properly because I was in many a situation where I trusted someone to do something and I was asked out.
Right.
Asked out, homeless, whatever it is, because I trusted that somebody would do something correctly.
Right.
So it's like, I'll ask, but like, it has to be, and that's, I think, why I became so controlling in my life, where it's like, okay, I see this one apartment I like, I'm going to fixate on that and control it because I don't trust that something else is going to work out better than the way I think.
Right.
Because I've been in so many situations where I've been failed. So yeah, going into all that in a relationship is rough.
Right.
Because it's like, you're not even finding things, at least for me, I wasn't finding things out until you came along. So it's just like, you had to just pull up your sleeves with me.
Right. But because now we have been doing enough work to learn these things about ourselves, to learn about each other, now we can really support each other in a real way that actually will create some change and really benefit us and help us be able to do this forever. Because I want to do this forever with you.
I want to do this forever with you.
And now I feel more equipped to be able to do that with you. And it just further cements my love for you that we're able to connect in these real ways and grow and have real lessons together. It's not just the amazing bomb ass, kinky ass, wild ass sex that we have all the time. It's not just that. It's not just how beautiful you are. It's not just the day-to-day fun stuff that we do, but like, nah, like, we're really building a life together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know things about me that nobody else does, and I can trust in you in a way that I can't trust other people.
Know.
You know?
Yeah, I do know.
So it's really beneficial, y'all. Do this work. If you're in a relationship with somebody that you feel you really love them, they really love you, and that voice inside, not what your friends say, not what social media says as signs that you should be with somebody. What does the inner voice, what does your gut say?
Yeah.
And if you really feel like you should be with this person and they feel the same about you, then do the work. But the work really requires you going within, doing that shadow work, them doing that work too, because it can't be one-sided. You can't be on your mm-hmm. spiritual path connecting with your higher self and that motherfucker over there just not tapped in at all. All the shadows is around. It's just not going to work. So if y'all in alignment and y'all feel like, all right, we really want to do this, we really encourage y'all to do the real work, the deeper work. We're going to absolutely do a whole thing on the shadow work, because I feel so passionate about shadow work. It has completely changed my life. And I really encourage all of y'all to put that flashlight on that thing. Pop them shadows out the corners. And you'd be surprised at what's been sitting there for years and decades. And you don't want that up on you for the rest of your life.
Mm-mm. And just to give an example of some things that we've done in our integration process, because you don't need to do plant medicine to do shadow work.
Correct. You do not need to. Only if you feel called. Don't do it because a member there on both sides of the bed said they did some plant medicine. Please do not do that.
Yeah, do not do that. Again, only if you're called. But one thing that we've been doing in the integration process that's been so just extraordinarily helpful for I will definitely speak for you with this, is the both of us, is breath work and journaling.
Yes.
And it's like, I've been trying to journal for years, like, and I have a few journals that I've done over the years, but like consistent every day or even every other day, it's just like I've never been good at it. But now it's like I feel like I'm itching to journal. Like I do it in the morning. I do breath work, which is basically a form of meditation practice where you're doing different types of breathing exercises to help energize your body. Like, I realized a few years ago that I hold my breath a lot. And in holding your breath, you're just, like, holding stagnant energy. And you're not energizing your cells. You're not energizing your body that well. So, doing breath work has been... We did it right before we recorded.
Yeah, it's going to be part of our ritual now.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, doing breath work, it helps energize you. It helps you also ground and be connected with what's going on within yourself. And it's actually been... It's been hard for me to have a stable meditation practice, and this has helped me like begin that process.
Same for me.
Yeah. So we've been doing breath work, and then immediately after, what I do is journal, and I journal for about 15 to 20 minutes nonstop. It's like I don't pause and think. It's just, even if I'm writing like I don't know what to say right now, it's like I just continue to write and write and write, and I find like by the second page, I'm like the first page is like, oh, this happened yesterday. Amir and I had some great sex, or Amir and I argued, and it's just like kind of a recap of what's going on. And then by that second page, I'm like, oh, like deep down, I actually feel this way, and I didn't know this about my shadow, but like I'm uncovering this right now in this moment on this pen and paper. And it's been really amazing. And I haven't felt this connected to myself since my yoga teacher training, which was, 10 years ago. Mm. Oh my God, I'm at the point where I said 10 years ago. But yeah, it was 10 years ago. So I just feel really good. Yeah. I feel really good. I feel really grounded. And I feel really connected to myself and to you.
Yeah, definitely.
And to Jazz. Like, for some reason, while I'm doing my journaling, I like really miss him. And I like lucked out, because when I first started doing it, he was here. And I felt like he felt me missing him, because he would just come in the room and give me a hug. This boy act like he don't want to hug me a lot of the time. So it's been really nice. But it's helped me just like build this, I guess, energetic connection with him, which has been really beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely been changing the energy in the space.
Absolutely.
Because we're, as spiritual beings, we're always emitting an energy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're somewhere in a room and then somebody walks in the room with some funky energy, without them even saying a word, you feel it.
Yeah.
You know, so we're always emitting an energy. And I feel like with the breath work, it helps ground you. It helps boost your energy. It helps you just be present with yourself and be intentional with what are you doing? Like, your eyes are opening, you're moving your body and your mind is going. But like, what are you actually doing in this very moment? Yeah. And it connects you with the very moment. The only moment that really exists is right now. So I love it for that. I did not think I would like the breath work so much. I've definitely been a person who has struggled to have enough energy to just get through my day. I just kind of be out here zombie life sometimes and just real cloudy and just not clear. Like I want to do more with my day, but I'm so cloudy, I can't put it together to make the day look the way I want it to look. So now incorporating the breath work now for just a couple of weeks, I've seen a drastic difference immediately. With that. And then, yeah, go right into the journaling. And with the journaling, it's like flow of consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's like the inner voice and you and your higher self just connect.
And have a conversation.
Yeah, and you're able to get it out on the pages. And yeah, just by moving the pen and not thinking too much, you'd be shocked at what comes out. Stuff that you've been holding in there, and it helps just put it in the physical so you can look at it and see what's in front of you, or just get stuff out.
Yeah.
So you can just flow and get out and move on. Whatever it is, it's perfect. Just get into some kind of journaling practice if you really want to have more support in connecting with yourself.
Yeah, I love that part about what you just said about getting it out. It's like I'll have things that have just been looping in my mind, just like the same negative thought process over and over and over again, I'm talking about for weeks at a time. And I journaled about it, and it was just like, just gone.
Mm.
And it's just been so freeing to let it go and to just write it all down. And also what I do is I reread it, which is hard because it's like my handwriting when I journal is unique. So, but I read it back and I'm able to like summarize and think like, oh yeah, that is what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can just release it.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So we've gone into our Buddha vibes. We're in a new space, obviously. And just where we are currently, you know, we've been gone for a while. We came back all meditative and everything. But, I think it just speaks to where we've been and kind of just this process of even getting started with BSOTB and where we've had our gaps and everything. It's like those are the times where we've been searching for more and trying to connect with ourselves and having challenges around that, and like trying to go through that process and share with y'all and document. That shit is not easy. It's like having to take that time away from all of that to connect with our individual selves first, then with each other.
Yeah. And so then we can show up authentically without the mask.
Right. So now this is us. Mask. No mask.
Yeah.
Hairless. And we are here for y'all. And we truly hope that y'all have gotten something out of what we spoke about today. And we have an array of topics that we'll be talking about. But it was very important for us to start here at the core, you know, and show up with our spirit wide open, free to express and connect with y'all. So thank you again for tuning in. If you've been rocking with us since the beginning, thank you so much, because y'all know we've been rolling on an interesting roller coaster for the last almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
BSOTB. If this is your first episode, welcome. You caught us on a good one.
You did.
You caught us on a very good
welcome,
one.
Welcome.
Welcome. You know. So enjoy this. We got some wild ones in the clip for you too. And we have a lot more to bring to the table. So thank you so much for tuning into BSOTB. You can catch us everywhere on all your social media platforms, at Both Sides of the Bed, on YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff.
And if you want to take your intimate journey to the next level and really dive into who you are, connect with your sensual self, and figure out how you can be better in your relationships, relationship with yourself, relationship with your partner, if you want better sex, then contact me at b-intimate.com. You can also reach out to me at Both Sides of the Bed or at Basira__.
So thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for tuning in to another episode of Both Sides of the Bed. We'll catch you on the next one.
Catch you on the next one.
Stay tuned for the sexy.
Stay tuned for the sexy.